So thank you guys for welcoming me back to be here. I'm really excited. God has really laid this message on my heart for a while. I'm just excited to share it with you, and I just hope you guys will open your hearts and your minds to hear this. So will you pray with me? Lord, I just want to thank you for allowing me to be here today, to be able to share your word and what you've been laying on my heart. And Lord, I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, our God, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. So how many of you have ever had a grudge before? You don't have to raise your hand, but yep, Beth, definitely, yeah. So maybe a grudge with somebody right now. Maybe you've had a grudge with God. Maybe with somebody else. Maybe you have a grudge with the person you're sitting next to. Hopefully not, but who knows? It could happen. So we all have had grudges before or have grudges right now. And you probably can give me a good reason to why you have a grudge. It's probably XYZ happened, they did this to me, God let this happen, so on and so on. But we all probably can say, this is why we need it. But what does holding a grudge mean? I decided to talk about this, I don't know, the idea came to me, just I said, okay, let's talk about having a grudge. And I had a good idea what having a grudge meant, but I wanted to look it up and just make sure I had the right definition. So I Googled it, and there was actually three different definitions, so a noun and two verbs. So the first noun says this, a persistent feeling of ill will or resentment resulting from a past insult or injury. The second one being a verb is being, says be resentfully unwilling to give, grant, or allow something. And then the third one is also a verb, and it says to feel resentful that someone has achieved something. So you can fill in those someones and those somethings with whatever. So the first one being a noun, you're upset that something happened in the past. So maybe you feel that God has let something happen to you, or something happened and you're blaming God for it. Maybe you got a flat tire, you got an argument with someone, you lost a loved one. The list can go on and on. Everybody can probably feel something in that list. The second one being a verb, unwilling to give. So you're unwilling to let go and give what has happened, give it away. Give it to God, give it to the person, just let go. And this really struggles and gives you a struggle, and it's hard to have that relationship with God or the other person. And the third one is also another verb. So resentful that someone has achieved something. So maybe you feel like someone got a position over you, achieved something that you should have achieved. And all this, maybe you feel like God let this happen. So with all this in mind, let's dig into our scripture. So today's scripture comes from Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 32. It's a story where Jacob wrestles with God. So it says this. The night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across a stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go until you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask me my name?" Then he blessed them there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." So the sun rose above him, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, now that we know what a grudge is, we need to figure out where these grudges come from. So like I said, we all probably have had a grudge, and they've all come from many different places, and all for many different reasons. But one of the places that maybe our grudge comes from is out of doubt. So we see this in many places in the Bible. We see Peter did this, Mary and Martha did this with Lazarus. They were so upset that Jesus hadn't come sooner, and that he let Lazarus die, and they didn't understand his love, and they were just didn't understand. I do this. When I don't understand why something is happening, I begin to doubt, I get so confused, I just want to ask why. And we also see this with Jacob. He didn't want the Lord to leave until he blessed them, and he just didn't understand what was happening. And we all do this. So, while many of our grudges come from doubt. There are also many different reasons that they come from. But there's one common feeling that we all have. We all have this feeling that of why the grudge happened, and we're holding it against the person or against God. So we all can probably talk about the same feeling that we're having over for many different reasons. So with our knowledge and understanding about grudges, you might be asking, what's the purpose of having a grudge? We all can give a reason of why we have one with the person or with God, but what's the real purpose? But also, how can God use this grudge to better our relationship with him? So let's look at all the grudges. Just think about all the grudges you've ever had or the grudges that you have right now. They come in many different shapes and sizes. So from the little arguments to the large extravagance events, they range on any different scale. So this grudge can help leads us to asking why. Why is this event happening? Why are we going through what we're going through? And through this, we can start complaining, we blame God, and we journey down this path of doubt and despair. But instead of doing that, why don't we start leaning on God and asking him for help and for understanding and for this wisdom? When we do this, it will help build our relationship with him and to help us see what God is doing in these difficulties and how he's helping us use it to help us understand for the greater things in life. It's crazy to think about that during these grudges, God is using them to bless us and to turn them into blessings. And it's hard to see in that moment, but that's why we build our relationship and we connect with God to really understand. So, I have this story that I want you to listen to. It's called Shoes on the Mantelpiece. So while I'm reading it, I want you to think of this question. Why is holding on to my grudge hindering my relationship with God and or with the other person I have this grudge with? So the story goes like this. There once was a very poor orphan who wanted nothing more than to belong to a family. And finally, his opportunity came. He was 8 years old, and a family wanted to adopt him. Introductions were made, papers were signed, and just 6 days after his 8th birthday, he left for his brand new home. He took with him his hopes and all his possessions, the old worn and torn clothes he was wearing, and a single soft toy. His new parents were excited to have him with them, and he wanted him to feel like one of the family. A special celebration dinner was held. He was given his very own room and introduced to the other kids in the neighborhood. His parents took all of his old clothes, threw them away, and brought him brand new ones. They bought him a bike, more toys, and pretty soon he began to feel like just like one of the other kids in the neighborhood and part of the family. But one thing left him very curious. The young boy's shoes, the ones with the big holes in them, weren't tossed out with the rest of his clothes. His new father had placed them on the mantelpiece. It wasn't long before the newly adopted son found out why. Every time he did something wrong, his father would go get those shoes and say, "Look at all we've done for you. We took you in when you had nothing, but look at how you have betrayed us." Don't we do the same things in our relationships? We dredge up something that happened in the past and shove it in the person's face. We say we let go, but there's always that one thing, that one shoe that we're holding on to that we're going to shove right in their face. But forgiveness means throwing out these shoes and everything else that went with it, getting rid of all of it. So, how many of us have done this? We just hold on to that one thing, but it's really hard, but we really need to just let go and let God. Stop wrestling with God as Jacob did, and or the other person, and just let it all go. So God can use this grudge and meet us in the place that we're in. He wants us to be able to help others that are going through the same situations that we have gone through, are going through, and will go through. But for us to do that, we have to stop and understand in the moment. God wants to use us, but we really need to just stop and listen and give it to God. God is going to help us come out of this struggle as a new person, just as Jacob became Israel. He wants us to live into our faith and strengthen our relationship with him. But this takes pouring everything we have out so that God can fill us back up. And during this time of grudge, we need to remember what God has done for us, what he will do for us, and what he is doing for us right now. Sometimes, in order to build this relationship with God, we just decide that instead of a connection, we want perfection. We want everything to be just right. We want all of our ducks in a row. We want everything to be perfect. Recently, I heard this quote, and it goes like this. Women aren't hungry for perfection. They are hungry for connection. But I think this goes the same for Christians. We shouldn't be hungry for this perfection of, I need everything in order before I can connect with God. We really should focus on this connection with God, with the people that are in the same places that we are. There's another quote from Father Gregory Boyle, and it says, one Christian is no Christian. And this is so true. In order for us to have this connection with God and with others, we really need to get rid of this perfection and just work on this connection. So with all this in mind, how do we really let go, let God, and just give it all to him? Well, it really boils down to just one thing, and one word, and it's love, and just giving it to God. And this comes from a form of active rest and not passive rest. So it's just actively giving God everything and not just half-heartedly doing it, not just half-heartedly holding on to this one thing. Sometimes we may feel like we don't want to give it up. We don't want to give the things that we're going through to other people, to God. But that's what our loved ones are there for. They're there for to listen to us and help us move on. So the things that we need to remember is to really praise God on the mountains and when the mountains are in our way. And to remember that God's not just a person that's watching over us. He's standing right beside us. And that we don't have all the answers, but that God does. So it comes to this awakening. We spend all of our time with everything locked up in our box, keeping people out because of the grudges that we're holding. And we do the same thing with God, the one who sent his only son to die for us. We can't understand why whatever you want to fill in the blank is happening. So we start pointing fingers, and the only reasonable answer is to point our fingers at God. But think about it this way. God is a loving God. He would do anything in the world to comfort us and to love us. He is our awakening. He is the one who loves us through it all, the one who will be there no matter what. In the Bible, it says this in Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Take these words and truly follow him. Learn to give it all to God, and you will really find rest. Until we build this relationship with him, we will feel tired and weary, but with him, all things are made new, and you will find rest. So have this awakening and just let go and let God. Will you pray with me? Dear God, I just want to thank you for allowing me to share this message. Lord, I just pray that we will all learn to just let go and let you have everything that we're struggling with. In your name we pray.